There are so many facets to the artistic structure of film and cinema, from acting, directing, wardrobe, camera work, and so much more. However, there is a component often overlooked because of how effortlessly it blends into the magic of the films. When done right, it moves the audience in powerful ways and serves as quite possibly the most important component. Today, we have a conversation about music, from an artist who composes, scores, and soundtracks the stories we see. Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson, and like every week, we are joined with an incredibly special guest. Today's guest is film composer and classical pianist, Matthew Cravener. Thanks for joining us, Matthew.
Thank you so much, Justin. It's so nice that you brought me on here. It's awesome. Thank you
Absolutely.
Very much.
You know, this is a conversation that I've wanted to have for 2 years now because we have so many film-adjacent projects in Tallahassee that I'm proud of, like the Tallahassee Film Festival and Cap City Video Lounge, and the list goes on and on. Our history to film in this city, it is just something that has always swirled the spirit of this programming. And so now talking to Tallahassee's most decorated film composer and one of our most beloved classical pianists, I'm going to get to have a conversation that I've wanted to have for a long time. So, again, thank you for joining us. And let's just jump right into this thing, Matthew.
All right.
How many films have you been a part of composing or scoring for?
Total amount, probably 37.
37
yeah,
films.
Most of those are short films.
Sure, sure.
So I've done about 32 short films, four feature films, one miniseries on Amazon Prime.
Got you. You know what? That brings up a really cool question. Is there a difference scoring for a short film as opposed to a feature film outside of the fact that you just have less to score for? But is it the same process?
Stress level. It's really the stress level.
Which one's more stressful, the short film or the feature film?
The feature film.
Sure.
Yeah, because usually the director gives me about 3 or 4 weeks to do the feature film.
Uh-huh.
Short?
I see.
A lot shorter time, maybe a week, maybe about 4 or 5 days for a feature film. Oh, sorry, a short film. But it's really, really, really it's much easier to score a short film.
And what is the process, a separate question that might sound a bit of the same, what is even the process for scoring for cinema? What does that feel like? What does your process look like? Are you looking at the scenes of the movie and then writing music for a scene? Or are you watching the whole movie and writing music for the spirit of what the film's about? How does it look?
Well, that's usually, that's based on my process, entire process. So let me walk you through that, if that's all right.
Sure.
So usually the director will send me through the cloud the actual motion picture. That's as close to picture locked as possible, as close to finished as possible. I'll then sit in my piano, grand piano, or upright, depending on the one I want to use, and I will write, live like a monk, so to speak. I will write for about a couple of days at the piano. I will write down. I don't read music, by the way, so I just have to do it all by ear. So
sure.
So I just come up with these tunes, these melodies, these chords, these chord progressions, all these ideas after looking at the picture, not to mention the fact that I spend some time with the picture before I write. So I kind of forgot the steps. So I'll usually sit in front of my computer and watch the picture for about a couple of days as well and get a good idea of what it is I want to score, what instrumentation I want, what type of music I want to create. And then after that, I'll go to the piano and write. After that, I'll go to Logic, which is a DAW, Digital Audio Workstation. It's basically the program I use to actually make the music for the film. So, and then I'll import that into the film into Logic, and basically record away.
So you live in two worlds. You live as an ancient monk and a futuristic astronaut in one process. And
that's a great way to put it. Yeah, that's good.
All right, you brought up something that that now I've got to talk about.
Sure.
It's almost like one of my favorite movies as a kid, Drumline, this talented musician who gets this scholarship and nobody knows until he's there that he doesn't read music. What do you mean as a classical pianist you can't read music?
Because I have dyslexia. Ah. I cannot tell treble clef notes from bass clef notes. See, every good boy does fine, is great, but dogs fight animals, and it becomes too slow of a process for me to read music. I knew if I were to try, I've tried to read music plenty of times, and so many teachers have said to me, you need to learn to read music. You can speak the language better if you read music. And I'm sure that would probably be true.
Uh-huh.
But I just can't do it. It's like a moot point.
And so you said, we're not going to learn the language. We're just going to become linguists.
Exactly. It's kind of like a Hans Zimmer type of thing. They say that Hans Zimmer can't read much music. So the creative process takes place in his head. And so takes place in my head too.
Which feeds into something that I was going to ask you anyways, yes. But at least that validates it, or at least reconciles this point a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You were what people called a child prodigy.
Yes.
Now, every cool musician wants to be known as a child prodigy, but you actually were in a lot of ways, not only because of a story that I'm sure you're going to tell, but because at one point you were the statewide young soloist of the year, weren't you? As a person that didn't read music like I now know. So you were actually a child prodigy. First of all, talk to me about what that felt like, or what that even looked like.
Okay, so I started playing when I was 4, live at the age of 6.
Uh-huh.
And it really was a thing. I'd always been it, pretty much. So as a kid and as a teenager, I felt like this is great type of things.
What was the
but
first
it was
song?
Also,
how did you know you were a prodigy? Did you sit down one day as a baby and start playing?
My parents caught me playing Amazing Grace on the piano when I was about 4 or 5. And they asked me, how did you learn that? And they told me that I simply responded, I heard it.
You had heard it already.
My ear is my strong suit.
Yeah. Let's jump back into your film composing. What is your favorite genre of film to write for?
I like action right now. It used to be horror, and I still like horror film music a lot. But right now, it has to be action.
Yeah, you really like it.
I love to make the beats and make all the rhythms and strings and all that stuff. So that's basic sense.
We got to know each other because we both peripherally or directly worked on a project together, which was Carter Country, a new documentary that's coming out. And, you know, at the premiere and the film screening, we got to hear some of the music that you had put over the film. And it is really, it's a testament to your talent because it transports you when it needs to transport you back in time.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel like it needs you to feel when it's a present day thing. Talk to me about the process of writing for a documentary, writing for things and events that actually happened and the responsibility that your music then takes.
Well, when I write music for documentaries, it's a little bit, best way I can answer this question, it's a little bit different from writing on music to an action film.
Mm-hmm.
You get constant photos and pictures going. So the music kind of, if I'm answering this question correctly, I believe when I'm scoring it, it's the music can go on and on and on and on and on, you know? There's not so many cuts you have to worry about musically as much as an action movie, so.
Got you.
If that makes sense.
It does.
So
it's more like a life.
It's more like a life. Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
I get that.
Music, but yeah.
So you've got the director of a film.
Yeah.
And you've got a film score or a film composer. Both of these are top apex artists in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
How much collaboration does it go into these two artists to score for a film? Does the director have as much input as the layperson would think, or is this really just the film composer's medium?
It's more a collaboration with a director.
That's
and
what
I
was asking.
It's more of a, the director.
How much so, though?
Not as much as one would think. Usually after I get to talking with the director and the producer about how they basically, I'll try to get as much out of the director, what direction the music is going to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I just, like I say, I live like a monk and write myself.
They have to, it's like a relationship. They have to trust you.
Yeah, they have to trust me. They have to trust me to deliver the music within the time, the due date.
Mm-hmm.
And but after I talk to them about the way the music is going to go and stuff like that, the instrumentation, what what they want the music to sound like, they leave me on my own, and I work like that,
sure,
alone and stuff like that.
Do you still make music for yourself? Do you do projects for yourself?
Is
your process for that the same? Is your writing process the same? Is it monk-like, or is it more fun?
It's more fun. It's not more fun, but it's less monk-like, but I take more time with my compositions, mm-hmm, when I'm just composing something myself and not to a moving image.
Sure. And let's talk about the cross-pollination of arts that you deal with. You're dealing with cinema, you're dealing with film,
yeah,
and you're dealing with music. Two of my favorite forms of art, by the way,
mm-hmm,
and you get to live in this world.
Yes.
Do you have a great love for cinema that informs your writing, or does it just feel like a practice or a function or a craft for you? Or do you love films too?
I love films too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
don't watch films as much, near as much, because, uh-huh, I score them so often. I don't feel there's like a need to watch that many movies anymore, but I do love, deeply appreciate cinema.
Sure.
And what directors and major Hollywood, you know, people do.
Piggybacking on that, is there a feeling that you get when you're streaming or watching a film and you hear your music? What does that feel like? Does it feel like seeing one of your kids out in public going to the mall?
Yeah, exactly. At first, it's a little, I'll be honest with you, it's a little daunting, because, uh-huh, I don't know how they mixed it to the picture.
Sure.
But then I get more confident as I hear it, like, they really did a good job with the placement of all this and the way it sounds with the picture.
Oh, so you don't always write music for a place in a film. You write general music and they get to place it where they want.
Well, that's not really common for the most of the films that I work on.
But so, yeah.
Carter Country,
uh-huh,
it is.
Ah. Cool.
They're going to place the music where they feel is best for it to be placed.
It's beautiful. You know, Matthew, you've had this incredible life, charmed life. Seems, mm-hmm, like you're doing exactly what you want to do and what you love to do.
Mm-hmm.
I would be remiss if I didn't bring up a part of your story that not only interests me, but it seems that you carry as a testimony and might serve as counsel to somebody listening. You were, I don't know if stricken is the right word, I don't want to be insensitive here, but
it's a perfect word.
Stricken, yeah, with Tourette's syndrome in your youth.
Yes.
And I guess in some ways it may have helped inform your art, but even broader than that, I know it helped inform the man that you are today. Talk to me a little bit about your Tourette's.
Well, Tourette's syndrome is hereditary, so it comes out at a later age, usually. And it comes out later age. I was 11 when I first had it. Mine first came out.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of like bodily twitches, eye blinking, vocal shouts. Mm-hmm. This can be cussing in some people, stuff like that. Unfortunately, my tics got so severe,
mm-hmm,
that I was bedridden for 4 years from 11 to 15,
mm-hmm,
because of them. And it was during those moments that I was watching television, because that's all I could literally do. My parents had to hold my head so they could spoon feed me. It was literally like The Exorcist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like that. So it was during those times that I was laying on my bed. I was watching a movie called Homeward Bound.
I probably have heard
that movie.
Absolutely.
So I listened to the music behind it. I was like, wow, I know I can't really play piano anymore because the fact that the stress was so severe at that time.
Sure.
I thought I was never going to be able to play piano again. But then I heard the music. I was like, maybe I can, you know, go to performing, to constructing music. Because, mm-hmm, I had so much knowledge about the piano in the first place because of some of the teachers I've had.
Sure.
I was like, why not use the knowledge I have about the piano to make film scores? And the rest is history pretty much with that.
What a beautiful line. I'll go from performing to constructing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You talked about your faith earlier in the interview.
Mm-hmm.
Does your faith help you deal with your struggles in the way that your art can't, or is it, yes, all part of the same bag?
My faith dealt with so many struggles that I was unable to do myself. I had to let God take over, and faith to me is the most important thing. It was the most important thing to get me through the hard times,
sure,
the dark times, of which I call it.
Sure. Pivoting to a bit of a local perspective.
Yes.
I think the first time that I ever heard your name or became acquainted with you mm-hmm. was because you had done a film, if I'm not mistaken, for the Tallahassee Film Festival.
That's right.
Is that correct? Yes. What film was that? Do you remember? Or have you done several?
I've done several.
Oh, this, okay.
The Last Shuttle, I consider one of the greatest short film scores that I get, not tooting my own horn,
that I've written. Talk to me about that, The Last Shuttle.
Yeah, they just reached out to me one day and on Messenger, do you want to score our film, The Last Shuttle? It's going to be in the probably going to be in the Tallahassee Film Festival. I was like, sure. Uh-huh. It was one of those casual things where they just reach out. And like, I have high hopes that it's definitely going to be accepted by the Tallahassee Film Festival.
Got you. You know, the film festival is something that on this program, and we have to toot the horn on every time it comes up, because I believe that not only as a cultural weekend in Tallahassee is it important, but what Chris and Jen and Steve and all the good people over there have been able to build is just something that decorates this city. I mean, on a film festival weekend, you can be walking around in downtown in Southside Tallahassee and feel like you're walking around on a city in Mars, because there's people from everywhere and it's a cultural affectation and there's artists out and about and people are enjoying our restaurants. It really makes Tallahassee feel like the city that everybody wants it to be and that I think it already is. And so I'm glad that you have been able to be a part of that in so many ways. Is there a director that you would like to write for? Is there a style of film that you see somebody make? And they can be extremely famous or they can be somebody local. But is there a director who you look at and say, you know, I could really compose
Christopher Nolan.
Ah.
Of course, yeah.
Sure, the epic cinema.
Of course, the epic cinema. Because Ludwig Göransson, you've probably heard of him. I don't know if you've had or not. But right now, he's Christopher Nolan's composer. And he has a great way of making every score he writes completely, I'm talking about completely unique. If you'll know this is Oppenheimer's score, you'll know this is his upcoming score for, you know, The Odyssey and stuff like that.
Sure.
This is what, yeah, I love that aspect of film music. Every score can be unique.
Now, I've heard you say in the 37 films that you've composed for, there was only a few of them that were feature length. Do you want to, I meant full length. Do you want to, is full length an ambition of yours? Is that something that you want to get into exclusively? Or will you always have a place in your heart for the film short?
Feature. For the short film? I would like to do all feature films.
All feature. Why is that?
Well, it's more credible. It's, you know, composing music for feature films is more, it shows that you can stick with something easier and better, and it's not, it's more, it's way more of a challenge, like I said, than scoring for short films.
Mm-hmm.
So you get more it's more credibility, it's more responsibility, takes more responsibility, much more to do a feature film more than a short, because, not to mention the fact also that I don't have a team that works for me. It's just me, and that is it. So, yeah.
Well, that seems like it makes the task harder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
so
a whole lot harder.
And so you want to add more to it. Hey, listen, I respect it, but it seems like doing that alone. Well, I guess when you get into features and when you go where you're going, you will have a team by then.
Yeah, probably.
Sure. Let me ask you this. Have you ever, and please, if you have, don't be specific because I, I don't want anybody looking for me. Have you ever had to write the music for a film that you personally didn't like?
Actually, I can think of, I cannot think of one.
No.
Every film that has come my way, I've actually genuinely loved to do the music for.
Got you. Well, if one day, because it's a professional gig, you know, and sometimes a doctor has to do surgery and sometimes the doctor has to give good news. If one day you have a film that comes across your desk that you really don't like, do you think that will make your job harder or easier? Because you can remove the emotion from it, or because you have to add the emotion to it?
Removing emotion from it would make it easier.
Would make it easier.
Yeah.
I think, absolutely.
For sure,
Matthew, in closing, my last question for you is a question that every now and then I like to ask on this programming when I think it's appropriate. And I do think it's appropriate in your case because a lot of what you do is art, and a lot of what you do is just necessary function, right? It's a cog in a beautiful wheel. And so because of the unobjective and the objective, or the subjective and the objective. My question for you would be, what does art mean to you?
Art, it's not really a question of, to me, I cannot answer that question by saying what it actually means to me, because sure, it means a whole bunch of things.
Uh-huh.
It can mean faith, it can mean, I get this is probably for most people, they think it's not one word. It's faith, it's creativity. Basically, it's those two things, faith, sure, creativity, freedom of expression. It's like something I cannot live without. It makes up who I am.
Mm-hmm.
It is who I am. If it wouldn't be for my autism, my Tourette's, also my OCD, ADHD, and dyslexia, the five individual disabilities that I have.
Sure.
It makes all those things. If it wouldn't be for those things, I wouldn't be a musician.
If it wasn't for art, those, yes, things would almost be unbearable for you.
Exactly.
Mm.
My autism is my music, if that makes sense.
It makes sense to
the
me.
Reason I have all those disabilities is because I am a musician. It's kind of like...
Vice versa, the reason that you're so successful and such a light with all of what some people might say are burdens is because of your art.
That's also a good way to put it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Matthew, in closing, I would like to say that if my life was a genre of film, it would absolutely be the tragic comedy. And when the tragic comedy of Josh Johnson finally resolves itself, I hope that you get to write the music for it.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us, brother. And thank you so much at home for joining us for another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time. Bye-bye.